Well, it's been a while, and it's nice to be back in the production chair here and introduce my good friend Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Marshall. It's so good to hear your voice, I have to say.
I just want to thank your listeners for literally, I'm telling you, the hundreds of correspondence I've received wishing me well, and then right after that saying, "And when are you and Arthur coming back?"
Well, here we are, just in time for spring. Now, I want to talk about something I'm sure I have talked about before, but I'm somebody who actually clings to seasons, meaning I really look forward to the next thing coming up season-wise. Although I have to say, right now, there is no fruit around. But okay. What is around, and perhaps even growing in your garden, because it's one of the first things that comes up, are chives. And of course, spinach. I do remember when I lived in the northwest corner that, I mean, really greens of various kinds were about all the farms gave us until June. So you're going to eat a lot of greens. But greens are really healthful. Healthy or healthful, Marshall. My grammar is escaping me here. In any case, they're coming up in the spring, in fact, because our bodies need the tox, the antitoxin, okay, of things like dandelion, chicory, which, by the way, I used to forage for in the spring about this time, mid-April. It would start coming up in what I never called the lawn. Always the short green growth. And I would forage for what I thought were, where I knew mostly were dandelions, but it ends up, some of it was probably chicory. And because the leaves look very, very much alike. And truthfully, gastronomically speaking, I don't think we have to have differentiate because they're both, depending on their age and other things, bitter greens that are full of antioxidants, which, by the way, are available to you only when you cook them. I shouldn't say that because some people do enjoy very young, not so dark green dandelion leaves in a salad. And I would make a strong dressing if I did that in a salad, meaning I would put, oil and vinegar, but either garlic or maybe garlic and anchovies. Mashed up into it. That's really good on these young bitter greens. I say not the dark ones, the really, if you're going foraging for this, for dandelions and chicory, you should go to the edge of a shaded area where they like to grow, as opposed to out into full day sun. Because the ones that get full day sun tend to be pretty strong. Let's just say strong. Some people. Anyway, I like spinach myself, and there's a certain kind of spinach that I know is about now, comes up about now, at least in the farming areas within 100. I don't even know where. And this would be in Jersey. I bought it from New Jersey, which of course is a week or two. Ahead of New York City, which is a week or two, more like 2 weeks ahead of Sharon. Anyway, spinach will be in the market, and local spinach will be in the market any day now. And I can't get enough of it, truthfully. The fact is, you have to buy an enormous amount of spinach to even do anything with it. And I keep buying enough, I keep thinking, well, this is enough spinach to make spinach and ricotta gnocchi, which are also called ravioli nudi, spelled with a GN, nudi, or NUDI, or just nudi, and I never get to it. So I think this weekend, when I can have access to this really good spinach again, and that's what I'm going to do with it. What I did do. Was oh, so the other thing that comes up almost as soon as the snow melts are chives. And in fact, you can buy big bunches at my farmer's market. I could buy big bunches of chives for a good price. And so I bought one, not even knowing what I was going to do with it. I said, "Oh my, these are so nice." In the end, I combined my spinach and chives, which turned out to be a really good combination, and made what I could, I guess I could call it a spinach gratin, but it's a spinach quiche without the crust. Have you ever done? I mean, I didn't do this, Marshall, because I wanted to. I wanted to save carbohydrates or calories or anything like that. It's mainly because I thought, well, I'd rather eat it without the crust, and it is a fuss. I could have bought a crust. Anyway, what I did was I buttered my dish very heavily. I have to say, I was afraid it was thick. It was an old Pyrex 10-inch pie plate. And I had, and then two big bunches of spinach, of course, cooked down to nothing. I didn't measure it, but I figure it's about a, was it about a cup and a half, I'll tell you. And we'll talk about cooking spinach. And this very well drained, squeezed out, cooked spinach, I scattered on the bottom of the pie plate. On the top of that, I put some shredded cheese. Now, I used 4 ounces of Gruyere. I happen to have some really good Gruyere in the house. If I had other nice cheese, I'd use. I never have that nice cheese. Well, even if I had Kraft Singles or something, or American other American cheese, I would put the cheese on now. I used 4 ounces of this good Gruyere. And that was maybe too much. 2 or 3 ounces probably would have made an excellent quiche. The one that I turned out with 4 ounces was a little on the heavy side. Then again, it was dinner. So on top of the cheese, I put a mixture of 1.5 cups of heavy cream, 3 eggs, a big pinch of salt, quite a few grinds of black pepper, and some grated nutmeg. Beat it all together, poured it on top of the spinach and cheese, and that was it. I considered lining the pan with breadcrumbs, and I could see where that would be nice. But I thought unnecessary, and in the end, yeah, unnecessary. And this amount made enough for four people for dinner last night. So I should say three people for dinner, and I ate it for breakfast. It was very good, reheated in the microwave for a little over a minute. And it was with the plastic on a plate with the plastic over it from the refrigerator. It was really good.
You know,
Anyway.
Arthur, what's interesting is that spinach and Gruyere by themselves, I don't like, but if you combine them,
No.
it's great.
Classic combination. I could have added some meat to that, but it would be totally unnecessary. I mean, you could do that nice ham in there, or maybe I would say cooked out bacon, because I don't really like raw bacon in the in a quiche, although people do do that. Anyway, so that's one of the zillion things I like to do with spinach. But which, so, you know, somebody I know is saying, "Oh, but you can get spinach all year long." Well, you get that young spinach they put in boxes. It's maybe okay for salad. I don't really buy it for salads either. But I have cooked it. It doesn't have nearly the good flavor that does a large leaf spinach. Now, what I buy is called generically Savoy spinach. It's large, crinkly, dark green leaves of spinach. Tends to have thick stems. Now, I don't mind eating stems, but in fact, I do lop off the bottom that is just stem. And if a leaf has a particularly thick rib, I'll pull it out. But otherwise, I'm not too particular about that. I mean, in the way I cook them, even the stems turn out to be pretty tender. So, well, and how do I cook them is after I first of all, you have The spinach that I buy is often loaded with sand because it's a farm grown in from the local area, and in any case, even commercial spinach needs to be washed well. So what I do is I put it in a big, actually the pot that I'm going to cook it in, steam it in. I put it in my big pot, filled with cold water, swish it around in the water, and let it stand for 1 minute. And then lift off the top layer, well, the lift off the spinach from the surface of the water. You're going to see the water is filthy. Pour out the water, rinse out the pan, do it all over again. Take it out, drain it in a colander, rinse out the pan, do it a third time. Usually, after three times, you will end up with clear water. Put it this clean spinach back in the pan, the cleaned big pan, and put it over. I put it over high heat. High heat on my pretty powerful stove. But I stand over it, and as it is starting, and you're going to see some steam coming up after a minute or two, I keep turning the spinach in the pot using big tongs. And it doesn't take but a few minutes to cook down to nothing. I laugh because we always joke about how much spinach you have to clean to come up with enough to do anything. It is worth it. I have used and do, used to use regularly frozen spinach, which in a pinch in the middle of the winter, it's nice to have in the freezer. I must say it doesn't compare to the fresh tonic flavor of fresh steamed spinach. So as soon as the spinach wilts down to its maximum wilting, and you'll see what that is, turn off the heat, and I let mine sit just like that until it cools enough to handle it really, and then I take it out of the pot with tongs. And squeeze it out in handfuls. And you'll end up with about a cup and a half, I would think. My two bunches ended up with a cup and a half, about a cup and a half of now this is leaf spinach. So it depends on how you want to eat it or serve it, whether or not you chop it up. For my quiche-like what are we going to call this, Marshall? Let me think. Culinary word for a crust. There must be a French word for quiche. I'm just thinking of it.
I'm not so good
Anyway,
with French. I can't help you with French.
no, I can't. No, in Italian there is something similar, but in fact you put starch in it, so it's really. Anyway, mine. By the way. We ate at room temperature hours after it came out of the oven, and it was delicious that way. And it easily came out of the pan, no breadcrumbs lining in. And you know what? We said, you know, we would like this with a pastry crust, but we don't really miss pastry crust. It's good for its own sake. So that's what we did with it. Oh, so chives. Or I bought this big bunch of chive, and I'm decided I'm this is what I'm going to do with the spinach. What do I do with the chives? I put them in with the spinach because I had no shallots, and I'm thinking, let's try this. And I use a good half cup of chopped chives. I still have chives. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. A good half cup. I mixed in with the spinach. After the spinach, I cooked the spinach. Oh, so I took this squeezed out spinach. I chopped it, put it in a skillet with a couple tablespoons of butter, sautéed it. Made sure it was all dried out. I didn't want it to water down my quiche in the end. And then I just stirred in the chives without cooking them any further. And on the side, I think I told you what I did. It was three eggs, a cup and a half of cream, salt, pepper, nutmeg. and I poured that over it all. It really was good. So the chives really, you didn't have a strong chive flavor. I might even go for more chives next time, but it was very good. And chives are something that, I don't know, they're very mild these days. They always so mild? Were they always so mild? I don't know. I'm trying to think when I had my garden in Connecticut, if I had such mild tasting chives. But anyway, I made some ranch dressing the other day, and I'm now going to add a lot of chives to it to perk it up. Now, in a large quantity, chives can make a difference, and I do love my own ranch dressing. So I know I've given this recipe on the air. Somebody just asked me for it again the other day, and I said I don't really. I shouldn't say I don't like bottled dressings. I haven't eaten bottled dressing in 20 years. Maybe it's different now. I don't know. In any case, here's my ranch. One part mayonnaise. I use Hellmann's. One part sour cream. Doesn't matter. It does matter, but whatever you use. And one part buttermilk. Now, in the end, I usually have to add more buttermilk, but that's my starting 1-1-1, a third of each, depending on how much you want to make. I usually make a cup and a half at a time, half a cup, a half a cup. To that, I add one or two cloves of garlic grated on my microplane. It's one thing I really do like the microplane for, garlic. And in the dressing, you can't be beat because you don't feel the garlic. If you taste the garlic, it has a nice old-fashioned peppery garlic edge to it. I like that. And then I add a lot of chopped parsley, at least a half a cup chopped, a lot of chopped dill, at least a half a cup chopped. And today I'm going to throw in a half a cup of chopped chives. You can season that up with a few shots of Worcestershire sauce if you like something a little. I would leave it at that, by the way. I do usually leave it at that. And I like to make it at least an hour or two ahead. It does sort of come together better after it sits for a while. It's even great the next day. And as I said, like today, I'm going to add chives to it with freshen up one that I made 2 days ago. And it's a great dip as well as dressing. It's the kind of dressing you want to put on a wedge of iceberg. I don't know, iceberg has gotten expensive. I haven't looked to see what's going on in Central Valley, where a lot of our iceberg comes from in California, but it must be bad weather because I've never seen iceberg. I mean, now you depends on where you buy it, but iceberg lettuce could be as much as $3, $4. It seems like a lot for a head of lettuce, but then when you think about it, maybe not. You there, Marsh?
I'm here, a little weakened, but I'm here.
Okay. So are you craving any foods?
Oh boy, Arthur. After the 4.5 weeks, I can tell you I'm craving just about anything. But you know what I'm craving most?
What?
My own cooking, because I got into the habit over the past year of everything I ate basically was cooked by me, and now it's not. And boy,
Yeah.
that's just so I'm craving so much. You can't
Oh.
imagine what I'm craving.
Well, I can't imagine. But some things you probably can indulge in, like ice cream or something, right?
They do let me have ice cream. Right now, it's lots of low fiber, low spice stuff.
Low fiber. Is that the kind of diet you're on? I know somebody. Oh, yes, I know. It's actually somebody who has a similar problem to yours. She's also on extremely low fiber. I did a little research on that one. She came, she lives in Rome. She's American, but she lives in Rome. And when she came to visit, I had to do a little research. see what she could eat. But who remembers? I'm sure you know plenty.
I'd love a piece of real nice, thin, crispy pizza right now.
Well, but you can eat meat. You can eat nice, rare meat.
Yes, they do give me meat, and it's a growing process. But boy, Arthur, I
No,
can't.
any vegetables?
Yes, but they have to be extremely, extremely well cooked.
Oh well, I don't have that much problem with that. I, as somebody who I like well cooked vegetables, Bob likes them gedämpft, as we used to say in Yiddish, like overcooked. He has trouble with vegetables in Chinese restaurants. They're always too hard for him.
One thing I am
Anyway.
allowed to, what's funny though, is one thing I am allowed to have. Get
Yeah.
ready for this. Macaroni and cheese.
Oh. Yeah, that why not? Is that's almost, it's very low fiber. Yeah, the macaroni has a little bit of fiber. That's all.
And
Macaroni and cheese. You could have eaten the oh no, maybe spinach is maybe not so good. But you could eat a quiche Lorraine without the crust.
oh, I could eat a quiche Lorraine. I could eat pieces of that. And also
Yes, you can.
potatoes. I can eat potatoes one of many different ways except for fried.
All right, well, that's okay. I mean, I prefer mashed anyway. If you're gonna
Yeah,
be,
absolutely.
that was one of my mother's the foods my mother would feed me when I was sick. So as nostalgia would be a baked potato with a lot of butter. It was an excuse for butter. One of these days, or maybe even next week, I have to do this because it keeps coming. Now that I'm eating potatoes again, it came to mind the other day as I was baking some potatoes that most people don't know how to bake a potato. So I, to my standards. And by the way, I learned how to bake a potato from James Beard himself. So I feel like passing on the wisdom of James Beard with how to bake a potato. Well, actually, do we have enough time to know how to bake a potato?
We have
It's
about
not.
three. We have about 3.5 minutes.
All right, well, here's the deal. Don't grease it, don't do anything, just scrub it. I'm not talking about a big russet baking potato. After it's cleaned, poke it with some holes with the tip of a knife. Put it in a 400 degree oven. Usually they take about an hour. You know that it's done when a fork goes easily into the potato. And also, the skin is going to be crisp and you're going to hear it crackle when you put the fork in. So that's the indication. You can pick it up with a pot holder and squeeze it and see if it's soft. You want it soft. When it comes out of the oven, keep it in a pot holder. Cut a long line through the potato using the tines of your fork, and then cross it with the tines of the fork, and then squeeze the potato open, squeezing it from the ends in until it erupts in the middle. That's your baked potato. Put butter on that, Marshall. And it'll be really fluffy, sweet tasting. And the skin will be crisp at least for a while. And I like eating the skin. So,
Well, Arthur, what I'm going to do right after we finish right now, I'm
yep.
going to put an order into the kitchen and see if they'll do that for
Yeah,
me.
but tell them you do not want to put in tin foil. You don't want them to grease up the outside. You just want a nice big russet potato and real butter.
All right. Thank you, Arthur.
And feel better.
All
That
right.
may
It's good.
that has the ability to make you feel better.
All right. It's great to speak to you again, Arthur.
And to you.